Baines, wide open three. Got it. Buries the big shot.
NBA Australia. Oh, geez. Hey, yeah, that's right. It's NBA Australia. It's Tuesday, November 5th. Melbourne Cup Day. Yeah. Still working hard. That's what I do. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet booze money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better. And Lonzo Ball in the NBA today, breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while ripping Straya just a little bit, mate. That's what we do. All right, so we've got a wild NBA day to wrap up for you. We had a huge upset, one even more huge upset. Rookies going wild, MVP chance in Phoenix, 340-point games, broken baskets, a bloke getting thrown out of a game for getting hit in the nuts. It had everything. So that'll all be covered with the game wraps as well as all the usual dumbassery. If that's not an eye, old mate, no mate. Spud of the night, panting of the evening, and better than Lonzo Ball. And of course, we've got, we've got the unpopular opinion of the day, and we've got Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. Also, there's the usual Tuesday Shane Heal shoot your shot, light him up award. We'll make a pick as well as a preview for all the games tomorrow, and we're going to finish off with a brand new Jingles HR. Oh, it's a good one. Hopefully it's a quick one. I want to go smash tins. Come on, man. It's a public holiday. Anyway, let's get to it. It's NBA Show episode 348. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow, you better. Or you better watch out for the attack of, still having a fucking weird shit cold because of the goddamn baby. If you can't tell, I feel like shit. I sound like shit. This is great. Good time to watch basketball, though. I'll tell you that much. Yeesh. What else do you have to watch out for? Oh, you got to watch out for the Phoenix Suns and Aaron Banger's Baines. Especially if you're the unbeaten, previously unbeaten, Philadelphia 76ers. That's right. Better watch out for the attack of the deadly Kevin Porter Jr. as well. This is today's daily whip around. It's the way we start every show here in NBA Australia. That's right. Kevin Porter Jr. for the Cavs was suspended for making contact with a ref. I know that they've got a bit of a tolerance policy with it all, but it seemed pretty piss-weak for me. Other news, Trae Young practiced, so hopefully he'll be back tomorrow, which is awesome. We've been robbed of Steph for 3 months. We may as well get shit Steph. I fucking love that. Let's do it. Jimmy Butler had a big interview with Yahoo that popped up. That was good. He ragged on Philly a bit. Just said stuff just don't work out. Nobody knows what really went on in Philly. We're going to leave it that way. Well, it sounds like you know what happened in Philly, Jimmy, so why not say it? And then he says, but it was a great opportunity. Sure. Also then kind of shit-talked Lance Stephenson, which was great. Talking about, being the 30th pick in the draft, he said, I always saw Lance Stephenson. I saw him and I was like, nah, man, if he's in the league, then I can be in the league. As you can probably imagine, Lance took that typically chill, saying, I don't know how to take that comment by Jimmy Butler. That boy look up to me. Don't Dan Grad talent. I motivate you to work hard and get in that gym. You love me, my game. Don't be scared to say it. I mean, sure. But Lance, you're also in China, so I don't know what to tell you, mate. There's some nice LeBron news. In addition to his I Promise school out there in Ohio, he's opening up like housing for folks and, their kids nearby, which is awesome. Working with some hotels and stuff around there, which is really good. That was really great. And Anthony Davis set off a bit of a shitstorm today when he was like, oh, yeah, man, hoops mecca, Chicago. Oh, look, man, remember, there's nothing like playing at home, man. I don't know, I am a free agent next year, but we'll see. It's a possibility. Look at my crazy eyebrow, man. Yeah, fuck you, Anthony Davis. Anyway, we'll talk about him later, but, yeah, it's pretty funny. I mean, they're talking about, like, him shitting on New York is like the basketball mecca is pretty funny. He's like, we've got the best basketball players ever. You look at the history of all the guys we got that made the league and even the guys that didn't make the league. They say New York, but it's not even close. Yeah, interesting. Nice. All right, that's about all the news. Why not just get into the game wraps then, Jimmy? All right, let's do it. Let's wrap all the games from today. Why not just check out USSportsTickets.com? They're still legends. I still love them. Washington hosted the Detroit Basketball Pistons and kicked the shit out of them, 115-99. Welcoming back Isaiah Thomas for his first start since he was on the Lakers back in 2018. The Lakers. It worked out really close in the first half this game. And it was actually surprisingly fun considering that Detroit don't have a fucking point guard. That'll do it. But look, really close, and the Wizards just smoked him in the third quarter. Outscored them by 14 points. I did love some of the commentary as well. It's like, I really feel like the key to this game was when Washington outscored them in the third quarter. So you're telling me that the turning point of the game was when one team outscored the other by 14 points? Hashtag analysis. You fucking idiot. Anyway, Isaiah Thomas and then Thomas, not Kobe Bryant. Davis, Amish, Beard, Bertans hit a couple of threes. The third quarter was wild. Detroit just couldn't do shit. Luke Kennard, the Duckman, was doing a little bit, but Washington just ran, put on a few clamps. Detroit got a bit funky, bit ISO, out of rhythm. I mean, that's what happens when you don't have a point guard. Shit goes a bit awry. And look, I'm all for positionless basketball, but I also feel like you need someone who can dribble. Holy shit. Detroit had 19 turnovers as well, 19 to 10. They shot okay from three, though. 13 to 27. Too many empty possessions, though, for Detroit. Andre Drummond missed out on a 20-20. Again, he could have gone three back-to-back, which would have been amazing, but it goes 15 points, 24 rebounds. And he was in there late still, trying to get that 20-20 as well, even though this was all she wrote. He had three blocks, four assists, and two steals. Pretty good. He joins Dennis Rodman, Kevin Willis, and Ben Wallace as the only players to record 20-plus rebounds in four consecutive games. At least since the 83-84 season, because back in the olden days, no one gave a fuck about keeping track of shit. The Duckman, Luke Kennard, had 24 points. Quack, quack. 5 assists, 6 of 12 from the floor for him. 3 of 4 from 3, pretty good. 5 turnovers, though, not great. Brucey Brown, he had 14 points, 7 assists, and 4 turnovers. Yeah, just a lot of turnovers in Detroit, which is kind of shit. Washington controlled the ball. They killed it. Brad Beal had 22 points and 6 assists. Didn't have to do it all. Thomas, not Kobe Bryant, he had 14 and 8. Rui! Japanese Jordan, 12 points, 5 of 7 from the floor. Mo Wagner, 12 points. Troy Brown Jr., 14 points, 10 rebounds of him. And Isaiah Thomas, the little guy, 9 points, 6 assists, 4 of 12 shooting. Going back to the starting lineup, and it was weird that he just turned back into the old last 2 years worth of Isaiah Thomas, where he just turned completely inefficient. But anyway, good to see him back. I'm happy about that. Pistons, 3-5. Wiz, another win. They're now 2-4. I mean, cool. Good on you, Washington. Sure. What else? Who else did we have today? We had New Orleans at Brooklyn. This was a fucking stupid game and just Watching Brooklyn shits me up the wall. I'll just say it. I don't feel sorry about it. They're just shit. Ugh. Anyway, Brooklyn win by 10, 135-125 over New Orleans, who were without, Zion Williamson and Lonzo Ball after he did his ankle again. Twice on one possession, in fact, which is pretty crazy. But this was just a shit show of a game. Turnovers everywhere, free throws everywhere. Not a particularly beautiful game. I believe that the Nets let the Pelicans score. I believe the phrase is at will. And especially in the third quarter as the Pelicans put up a record 48 points in a quarter on the road for them, for the franchise. Pretty crazy. The Nets are actually up 20 in the third quarter. Pel scored 48 in that quarter. Nets were up 11 again at the start of the fourth. Then it was down to 5. Then it was down to 2. And then they closed out on a 14-6 run to get up 10 and finish it. And that was a lot to do with Sweet Baby Carrots keeping them in the hunt in the middle of that fourth quarter. Then Kyrie came in, did a couple of things, and they just did enough. But, ugh. DeAndre twisted his ankle as well. DeAndre Jordan, which, might be good. But Lonzo, a lot of twisted ankles. He twisted his ankle twice on one possession, which was weird. But for the Pelicans, 21 turnovers, but they still shot 49.5% from the field. Yep, that's some good defense, Brooklyn. because Spindles Ingram went fucking spare. Career high, 40 points for him. Ran out of gas a little down the stretch. The Nets were throwing doubles at him on inbounds plays and stuff like that, and then letting Taurean the Red Bull Prince handle him a little bit solo. Pelicans running through screens, get some switches, but then he just sort of hit a bit of a wall, short-armed a couple of shots right at the death, and that was all she wrote. 40 points, 17 and 24 from the field. He'll pop up again later. Jrue Holiday had 15 points, 7 rebounds, 4 steals. Lonzo had 15 points in 21 minutes before he went out, 3 of 7 from downtown. Josh Hart had 14 and 7 with 4 steals as well, and 12s each off the bench for Frank Jackson and JJ Redick. Brooklyn, for their part, though, at least shot well. They shot 53.3%, hit 16 of 41 from 3, but had 23 fucking turnovers. It's like literally every time they had the ball, it's like, we'll make a pass. Oh, fuck, they gave it to the other team. And I swear, Spencer Dinwiddie is just, I don't know, goes through these stretches where he just has shit games. He had 7 points in 21 minutes in this game, 3 of 8 from the floor, 3 turnovers. Every time he left the ground, it seems like he's got zero fucking plan if he doesn't shoot it, you know, and just tosses it to the other team. Anyway, Kyrie Irving had 39 on 13 of 21 shooting, 9 assists. He was awesome, especially early when they got up big. And you're kind of like, all right, Brooklyn, going to get their first easy win of the season. Nah, not quite. Sweet baby carrots. He had 23 points on 19 shots, 4 of 8 from 3, though, which is good. 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Continues to fill up the stat sheet to Sweet Baby. Jared Allen was ferocious, 18 and 10, 7 of 8 from the floor for him, 19 for Joe Harris, including a dagger 3 to finish it. He was 4 of 9 from downtown, so there you go. Nets squeak by. Taurean the Red Bull Prince, just loves shooting, 2 of 9 from 3. Yeesh. But, you know, he's okay. He's not Kevin Durant, though, but what are you going to do? Pelicans 1 and 6 for the season, Nets 3 and 4. Houston went to Memphis, tasty barbecue, 107-100, they end up winning this game. Bit of an interesting one, this one. It was pretty fun. Like, Memphis were in this. Rusty Westbrook actually sat this one out. He rested, and they thought about not resting him after he played for only like 26 minutes or whatever it was in the Miami Massacre yesterday. No Triple J for Memphis after that injury against Phoenix. But a really good first half. The second half was absolute dog shit, however. Just a lot of turnovers, a lot of shitty fouls, and just a shit ton of boring ass James Harden fucking free throws. Anyway, Memphis were, I mean, they've only really got themselves to blame. They were 3 of 25 from 3. They missed every 3 after the first quarter. They were 0 of 13 in the second half, did not hit a 3 after the first quarter. That's fucking crazy. Ja Morant was good, 23 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, dunked all over PJ Tucker. And then nearly killed himself on another fucking dunk. Ja, settle down, mate. Dylan Brooks had 17 on 18 shots. 0 of 7 from downtown. Yeesh. My name is Giannis Valanciunas. 10 of 10. 10 and 10 for him. Brandon Clark, 20 more minutes for the Rook. Didn't look too bad. 3 and 6 for him, but, you know, it's all right. Slow-mo Kyle Anderson had 10. Bruno Caboclo, 2 years from being 2 years away. Is that now? I don't know. He had 11 and 5. And Tash Jones had 10, 5 and 4. But the best bit was when Jay Crowder got tossed out of the game for getting hit in the nuts by James Harden. He had one tech foul from that, and they went, oh, it's not a flagrant two, but you're out of the game? It's pretty weird. Look, this is going to come up again later, but yeah, pretty weird. Just like, you need to go now, Jay. And they're like, what? Where in the book? How is this a rule? What the fuck? He hit me in the nuts, ref. Come on. Anyway, Houston won by shooting less than 38%, which is fucking wild. They shot 53s, which was double what Memphis took. Absolutely insane. Harden had 44, 12 of 28 shooting, 7 of 16 from 3, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 turnovers. Yeesh. He might pop up again later. Gordo had 16 points on 5 of 17 shooting. Surprisingly enough, not all of 17 shots came from 3. He went 3 of 9 from downtown. Had a hammer dunk. Gotta hope that he turns a corner. 15 and 9 for Daniel House. Clint Capella went 10 and 13. In the thrift shop himself, Ben McLemore had 12 points, plus 12 on 3 of 11 shooting, which makes you always wonder about the plus minus stat when he shoots 3 of 11. PJ Tucker was so humiliated after having Ja Morant's nuts on his back as well. He didn't take another shot. He was 0 of 1 in 34 minutes. Grizzlies tanking beautifully. They look fun. They're awesome. They're in these games. 1 and 5, however. Houston, 4-3. Nice little bounce back after that embarrassment in Miami. Milwaukee went to Minnesota, and this game went for 7 hours. No shit. Milwaukee, 134, Minnesota, 106, because they kept breaking the fucking basket. And then they broke the backup basket. This was weird AF. Ended up in the first half with a charging foul on Giannis at the buzzer as well. That then got overturned to a blocking foul that somehow resulted in an and one, which makes no fucking sense. Anyway, it was close at that point, and then it wasn't. Because Milwaukee shit pumped them in the second half. Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you like outscore the other team 68-49. Do you reckon that was a turning point in the game? Yeah, probably. Minnesota shot 35%. Yeah, I feel like Karl Anthony Towns is a pretty important player to have on your team, right? Because, yeah, starting Gorgui Deng in his place is not conducive to winning basketball, one would think. Andrew Wiggins had 25 points, 4 of 7 from downtown, but was somehow a minus 17. I fucking love Andrew Wiggins. 10s for Jeff El Jefe Teague and Gorgui Deng. 15 and 4 for Lord Robert Covington. And the bench for Minnesota shot 15 of 52. Ew, gross. Milwaukee, Giannis, Middleton, and Bledsoe put on a Bledsoe combined for 82 points. Giannis had 34, 15 rebounds, and 6 assists in 26 minutes. Yeah, it turns out Giannis is good. Middleton had 26 points on 9 of 15 shooting, 4 of 7 from deep. Bledsoe put on a Bledsoe, 8 of 14, 22 points, 6 assists, 9 rebounds. Nice of Bledsoe to rock up in a game that they're just kicking the shit out of a team, you know. Dante DiVincenzo, the big ragu. 17 and 7 for him, 3 of 4 from downtown. Bucks had 68 points in the paint to 38. Yeah, that'll do it. Wolves, after starting off hot, 4 and 2. Bucks, now 5 and 2. Noish. Two more. What do we have? We had the two powerhouses, the two Ps. We just had two Ms. Minnesota, Milwaukee. I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. Philly went into Phoenix as the only unbeaten team remaining in the NBA and left downtown Phoenix and Talking Stick Resort Arena with an L next to their name. That's right. The Phoenix Suns beat the Philadelphia 76ers 114-109. This was a great game. It had everything. There was like Phoenix was sort of shitting themselves and trying their hardest to kind of lose the game, but didn't. It was absolutely nuts. Al Horford was trying his hardest to win the fucking game for Philly, and the rest of the Sixers were kind of like, I don't know, man. Like, we'll probably win this, right? And they didn't. So down 6 going into the second half, they nutted up. Bangers was throwing in threes. Booker went bonkers. And yeah, they outscored them 59-48 in the second half. They win the game. Rubio was hitting threes. Oubre was doing wild shit. And yeah, you turn around, you go, Phoenix are a fucking fun team, dude. Like, they are. You got Frank the Tank shitting the bed. He was horrible, but the rest of the team was fucking, and like Dario the homie Saric as well. But Rubio just throws in a 40. Bangers are dropping bombs. It was fucking gross. pretty handy, though, when you got Philly turning the ball over 20 times. Yeesh. I mean, they shot 13 of 29 from three, which has been unusual for the old Sixers, but that was a lot to do with average Al Horford dropping in almost a career high, 32 points. It's the most he scored since 2016. 13 to 20 shooting, 5 of 8 from downtown, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals and a block. And he was incredible late in this game too. Just couldn't quite do enough to get them over the hump because Tobias Harris was kind of shitty late. Just couldn't really get it going, which is weird. 10 of 20 for the game for him, 1 of 6 from downtown, 24 and 10. Fucking Furkan Korkmaz backed up his game winner the other day against Portland with a 20-point game, starting at shooting guard for the old Sixers. 4 of 7 from downtown for him. Josh Richardson went 3 of 11 for 8 points. Not great. 4 turnovers, 1 to forget for him. Same for Big Simo. Looked a bit off. A season low, 6 points to go with 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 7 steals, which is an equal career high, and 4 turnovers. Not much for the bench from Philly as well, but get that on the big job sometimes. Suns! They shot 53%, 11 to 28 from three. None from their bench, 0 of 7. So their starters went 11 of 21. Yeah, not bad. Booker just couldn't miss. He had 40 on 15 of 19 shooting. Absolutely unreal. 3 of 4 from deep. 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block for him. Ruby! Oh! Ricky Tiki Tata. 21 and 10. That's assists. Not bloody bad, bro. Not bloody bad for the little Spanish bastard. But there was a really, really, really great piece that he wrote for the Players Tribune about his mum. So go read that. It's lovely. 7 rebounds as well. Kelly Oubre had 14 and 6 and 5 and 9 shooting, but it was bangers! Aaron Bangers Baines, the walking, talking brick shithouse himself. The man from Mareeba, wetter than the Yarra. 15 points, 6 of 9. Nice. From the floor, 3 of 5 from 3. 7 rebounds, 6 assists. I keep telling you, there's going to be a bangers triple-double soon. 1 steal, 2 blocks, team high, plus 19. He was awesome. The homie Dario Saric was a bit of a spud. Talk about him in a second. Tyler Johnson had 8 points on 4 of 7 shooting, but the Suns just eked this out. Rode Booker to the win. It was wildly entertaining. The Sixers scratched, clawed, couldn't quite get it. The Suns just kept scoring on them. It was crazy. It was really fun. Not much Matisse Thybulle in this. Yeah, they play their starters a lot, the Sixers, and it didn't really help. So anyway, so a bit of an upset. Suns win. They're 5-2 for the season. Sixers are 5-1. And remember, the Suns lost those two games by a combined 2 points. So not bad. And finally, the other big upset, the much bigger upset. But Jimmy, it's Golden State Portland. Golden State won. Yeah, Golden State are a fucking G League team at the moment. They win 127 over the Portland Trailblazers 118. What an absolute fucking shit show this was. It was tied at 99. Portland had, you know, fought all the way back. And then the Warriors went, nah, fuck yous. 12-0 run, broke this open. Portland get beaten by a fucking G League team. And you better believe I've messaged old PDX Pete about this a little bit too. Portland only 6 turnovers, but, you know, you lose games like this when you don't play any defense. They took almost 20 more shots than the Warriors and still lost. It's crazy. Dame had 39 points. He was good. Can't do it all by yourself, though. Wingen Hassan-Whiteside, in one of the most Wingen Hassan-Whiteside stat lines you'd ever see, 22 points, 11 rebounds, 10 of 14 from the field, minus 15. There's literally, look, people talk about Devin Booker having empty stats. Wingen Hassan-Whiteside is the epitome of empty stats. 6 of 16 shooting for 14 points and 6 assists for CJ McCollum. Spud Hood spudded his way to 1 of 8 shooting. He was shit. Anthony Tolliver, oi. I mean, when you're starting Anthony Tolliver, you're in a bit of a, you're in dire straits. 17 minutes, 1 of 5, including 1 of 4 from downtown. Anthony Simons was good, though. 14 points, 5 of 10 from him. But Kent Bazemore, I keep telling you, not that good at basketball. 3 of 10 shooting for him, 1 of 6 from 3. Ugh, 7 points. Yeah, 3 and D, Kent Bazemore. You've got to hit 3s and play D. He does neither. Just saying. Even Super Mario Hazonia over there played 26 points. And I'm not entirely convinced that if you're a good basketball team, you should be playing Super Mario Hazonia 26 minutes. Even though I love him. 4 of 6 from the floor. He was kind of handy. He was a plus 6. But yeah, the rest of the team, boosh. Golden State, they shot 48.8% from the floor as a team. Absolutely crazy. This was with Jordan Poole going 3 of 16 and Alec Burks going 4 of 12. I feel like that means everybody else never missed. And look, Eric Paschal basically didn't. 11 of 19. He had a massive game. 36 and 13. He was unreal. Kai Bowman was out there trying to fight Wingen Hassan-Whiteside, probably for whinging too much. 19 points for him. 8 assists. He was awesome. Poole had the 16 shot attempts, but also ended up with 16 points because he had 8 of 8 from the free throw line, which is double what Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum had. And same with Damian Lee. He had 16 points and 8 of 9 free throws. Again, more than double Lillard and McCollum combined. Amazing stuff. Big Willie Cauley-Stein style had a 10-3-2-2. Burks had 13. Chris, Marquise Chris, the man with a basketball IQ like that's basically that of a beach umbrella, was out there doing important shit in crunch time for the Warriors. Crazy. Didn't have a great stat line, 14 minutes, but went 2 of 3 from the floor, including a 3, 5 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block. Not bad. Anyway, Portland, what the absolute utter bug fuck are you doing losing to this horrible Warriors team? Like, their salary combined doesn't even match, like, CJ McCollum's. What the fuck are we doing here? Jesus Christ. They might not even match Rodney Hood's salary. Jesus. Anyway, Blazers are 3-4 for the year. Off to a very slow start. And the Warriors are 2-5, now sniffing at their fucking heels. Without Steph, without Clay, without Draymond, without D'Angelo. Unbloody real. All right, let's go to some NBA Strayer Awards right after this because I'm fucked. Need a bit of a break. We'll be back in just a second.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Strayer.
That is a knife. It is the NBA Strayer Proof Performance of the Night. And look, Harden's 44. Pretty efficient, bro. Not bloody bad from the beard there. You know, 44 points on 28 shots. You'll take that. 7 of 16 from 3. Sure, but you're playing Memphis. Go fuck yourself. Spindles Ingram, efficient as fuck. 45 and 5 on 17 of 24 shooting along with 2 steals. Second youngest 40-point scorer for the Pelicans ever after Anthony Davis. He was unreal. Looking like young Durant out there at times. It was absolutely bloody crazy. He's going to pop up again later. Devo Booker, 40. Even more efficient, 15 of 19. Absolutely crazy. 3 of 4 from downtown. 7 of 7 from the free throw along. Free throw line. There we go. Just ballsy as fuck by Book. He was awesome. But do we even know if Devin Booker is good? Yes, we fucking do, because he's like young as shit and dropping bombs on everybody, you assholes. But look, that's all well and good. How about Eric Paschal, though? On his birthday, 36 points. The rookie, 13 rebounds. He was unreal, 11-19. He'll pop up again in a second. 4 of 6 from downtown. What a chill dude. He was unreal. That was fucking great. 4 great performances today. But I like the rookie on his birthday, dropping 36 and 13, leading his team to a win that nobody bloody expected. Oh, it's just beautiful, mate. What about old mate no mates?
Old mate no mates.
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 Who's got no mates today? Jay Crowder got thrown out because James Harden punched him in the nuts. What did... Come on! Like, Jay Crowder would kind of basically foul James Harden. James Harden punches Jay Crowder in the old fella. And then Jay Crowder goes, hey, don't fucking punch me in the nuts, you prick. And then gets tossed because he got angry because James Harden punched him in the fucking loaf. And Jay Crowder is tossed for this? What the fuck are we doing here? That he's old mate, no mates. He's got no mates on this reffing crew, clearly. Because they go, look, we're not going to call a flagrant 2 on you getting angry at James Harden for punching you in the dick, but you have to leave. And Jay Crowder's like, what? Fucking why? That makes no sense. Why are you kicking James Harden out? He punched me in the family fucking jewels, you assholes. And the ref's like, yeah, but I don't know, it's James Harden, man. You're Jay Crowder. Fuck off. That's brutal. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, 2 of 8. Season low, 6 points, but he did have 7 steals. He did a lot of other good stuff, so I can't really give it to him. The homie, Dario Saric, is a bit of a spud. 5 points, 6 rebounds, 5 turnovers. Frank the Tank, 0 of 5 off the bench in 20 minutes, including 0 of 3 and 2 turnovers. Jesus. 3 of 11 shooting for Josh Richo Richardson. That was brutal. But it has to go to literally the man who is nicknamed the Spud, Rodney Spud Hood. Spudding it up at the most inopportune time, which is the classic Rodney Spud Hood way to go about it. It's like, oh, we need to rely on, I don't know, Rodney Hood tonight to give us a couple of extra points and we'll beat Golden State. We'll be laughing. Rodney goes, fuck y'all. 1 of 8 from the floor. 0 of 1 from 3. I'm a really good shooter. 3 fouls, minus 7. You lose to Golden State. Fuck you very much. Thanks a lot, Rodney Spud Hood. Your Spud of the night. Pantsing of the night. PJ Tucker got pantsed. Well, he had Ja Morant's nuts dangling like a fucking necklace around his neck. His agates are just like riding his fucking neck like nothing. So PJ Tucker was so humiliated and pantsed, he tried to nut Morant as well, giving the old quick, how you going, squirrel tap. But still, you know, and he was just demoralized to the point where he didn't take any more shots. But look, pantsing the night goes to fucking Portland because you lost to a fucking G League team. Seriously, Eric Paschal, a second round pick, little big dog, Glenn Robinson III, a fucking journeyman. I mean, on no money. Little Big Dog is just, come on, man. Big Willie Cauley-Stein-Style is a minimum player. Kai Bowman, Jesus Christ. Jordan Poole's another rookie. Marquise Chris, he's a fucking spud. Alec Burks, Amari Spellman, Damian Lee. You lose to this fucking team. Portland, that is a pantsing and a half by a G League team. Holy shit. You guys stink. That is like the principal's like going to give you an award and then the principal fucking decks you. But it's not the principal that decks you because, I mean, who's the G League team? It's like a substitute teacher. The art teacher. The pedo PE teacher. That's who decked you. There you go. Better than Lonzo Ball for today.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody as long as it involves breaking my ankles twice in one possession. Isn't that right, Lonzo? Oh, that's sad. Rui, Japanese Jordan. Rui Hachimura, 12 points. Not bad. Better than Lonzo. Ja Morant. Holy shit, he was good. 23-6. But come on, man. Eric Pascal on his birthday. Career high game. A season high for any rookie to this point. 36 points, 11 of 19 from the floor, 4 of 6 from downtown. 36 points, 13 rebounds, 1 block. The last rookie to drop at 36 and 13 was Blake fucking Griffin. Yeah, happy to say Eric Pascal better than Lonzo Ball. All right, we'll be back with Yenars right after this one.
This is Mitch Creek. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Yeah, nah time. Got no dog in here with me today. It's nice out, so he's outside. Yeah, on ya, Larry. Anyway, look, yeah, nahs, that's where we take a bunch of NBA storylines. We go, yeah, nah. What do you reckon? Let's get to it. Number one, will Anthony Davis leave the Lakers next year to go to Chicago? Yeah, nah. No, of course not. This is fucking Anthony Davis tickling the balls of every fucking media person and just getting anyone to like him. Literally, right? I mean, I'm a free agent next year, but we'll see. We'll see. Go fuck yourself, Anthony Davis. You are literally a dude trying to convince people that you're interesting. Please pay attention to me. I might even go to Chicago, he says coyly over his fucking shoulder. Go blow it out your ass, Anthony Davis. I would think, and look, to be honest, it would be the funniest fucking thing in the world if he did. And do I want that to happen? Yeah, nah, yeah, because that would be the funniest shit ever to happen to the Lakers, but still. Hey, next up though, then is Chicago the mecca of basketball? Yeah, nah, no. I mean, come on. Settle down. Settle the fuck down. Yes, there's been a bunch of NBA players to come out of Chicago. There's been a fuck ton more success there in the last 40 years than in NYC. But at the same time, nah, actually, fuck it. Yeah, why not? Ah, but really, nah. Come on, we all know the mecca of basketball is the Minor Dome in Ballarat. I hate this mecca of basketball shit. Look, New York is fucking great. Live there for a bajillion years. You could watch amazing basketball just on the street. So, yeah, fuck off. Next up, is a potential DeAndre Jordan injury good for the Nets after he went out today? Yeah, nah. Sneaky, yeah. DeAndre Jordan's a fucking flog. Jared Allen is already a better player. The big problem for the Nets is they just have no big man depth. Their, like, next big man is, I think, Nick Claxton? Yeesh. That could be a bit of a problem, but more Jared Allen and less DeAndre Jordan is good for the Nets, but not at the expense of having no other big man. Anyway, next up, is there hope for Brandon Spindles Ingram to actually live up to his billing as a number 2 draft pick? Yeah, nah, yeah, of fucking course. Look, he dropped 40 on the Nets. That's no real great shakes the way they're playing fucking defense, but the way he's playing is the way you want him to play, right? Bit of force, bit of silkiness. He's only 22, and he's averaging, you know, over 25 points a game. Sure, Kevin Durant averaged 30 when he was 21, but and 27.7 when he was 22 years old, so I don't know. But there you go, Spindles. There's your blueprint. Just do that, mate. Next up, hey, for real, Phoenix, for real. You know. I mean, I mentioned it, right? 5-2 could easily be 7-0. They've won without Rubio. They've won without DeAndre Ayton. Rubio and Bangers and Saric give them a sort of solid veteran core with cool heads. And you see it in games like today when, like, the Sixers came roaring back. Take a bit of a lead. Phoenix just sort of went, just fucking settle down, mate. We've got this. And then they won. It was incredible. They've done that like two or three different times. So I don't know. There's a lot of springiness in the Booker Oubre pairing. I like that a lot. I've always liked Kelly Oubre. And yeah, I feel like Washington giving away was the most Washington fucking dumb shit ever.
Oh, but we needed Trevor Ariza.
For what, you idiot? For what?
His veteran presence.
Awesome. How did that go? Anyway. But Phoenix, yeah, maybe for real. But I do kind of feel like it's just one of those early season runs where you're like, oh shit, the old surprise team. We've mentioned this before, like the Orlando-Detroit sort of types for the last couple of years where someone just comes running out of the blocks and you're like, shit, yeah, because they've changed up and it's changed out pretty great because the simple idea of having an actual NBA coach, Monty Williams, and actual NBA players, Bangers, Rubio, Saric, etc. Yeah, turns out that's a good plan. What a surprise twist that is. Anyway, look, I think Phoenix will be better than we expected this year, but yeah, it's not going to stay 5-2. Are Portland trash and succumbing to the whinging Hassan Whiteside effect? Yeah, nah, yeah, which I believe is the opposite of the Aaron Bangers Baines effect, where he joins a team, they instantly get shitter and more whingy, whereas Bangers joins a team and they just get fucking rockhard. Anyway, was that the worst loss of the season? Yeah, nah, yeah, it was for sure. Utah, Sacramento were close, but at least Sacramento are an NBA team with actual NBA players. The Warriors team is not only not just a G League team. It's not a good G League team. Like, it's a G League team. Like, this is the classic question. Like, would the Charlotte Bobcats be able to beat Duke? Like, would this actual Warriors team be able to beat the best college team this year? Who fucking knows? Interesting. Yeah, nah. I don't know. It'd be a good game. Come on, Joe Lacob. Put your money where your mouth is. We're light years ahead. Beat a college team then, motherfucker. Anyway, yeah, well, they beat Portland. Can Portland beat a college team? Who knows? Unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me for all the adoration and respect and love that he gets. Greg Popovich overthought himself and was too petty and fucked himself. He was too proud for not trading Kawhi Leonard to Los Angeles for Spindles Ingram. Like, Kawhi ended up in your fucking conference anyway, and in LA, and you lost Danny Green, and he's already on the Lakers anyway. So, Pop, I don't know. I feel like we should criticize him a little bit more for that. It's like, oh, but we got DeMar. Yeah, DeMar fucking sucks. Let's be honest. Fuck him. Spindles, it's just way more potential.
Awesome. We've got DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, best of fucking luck with that. Could you imagine DeJounte Murray and fucking Spindles Ingram? Who? Give me some of that. All right, it's time for Outback Takeouts. It's Tuesday at Outback, and you know what that means? Cassowary casserole. That's right, we set out on an expedition with 58 good men and lost 56 of them. It was only me and Davo who came back, but we bagged this fucking delicious bird for you. That's right, 56 good men died. But this casserole is fucking delicious, and it's only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is: Joel Embiid fought Karl Anthony Towns last week knowing that he'd get suspended for at least 2 games, and he did so to duck playing Aaron Bangers Baines. Only at Outback. Bangers is averaging 15 points and kicking ass and taking fucking names, so I'm not going to tell you that he didn't. You know what I'm saying? All right, we're back with Australian Player Watch, the Shane Heal Award, and the Patty Mills and the game previews right after. Let's say this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. It's Australian Player Watch. Only two Aussies in action today, and they're going head-to-head. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and Aaron Bangers Baines. And Simo, as mentioned, a season low. 6 points, 2 of 8 shooting, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, but a career high. 7 steals, equal career high. To go with 4 turnovers. And look, tried to do a bit of a number on Devin Booker, and Booker sort of shook him a couple of times too. Pretty funny, pretty interesting. But yeah, Simo, I don't know. It's one of those ones where you want him to take over a little bit more down the stretch and just sort of not stand there off to the side of the key and just sort of like going,
hey, if someone else wants to pass it to me, I could probably dunk it or I could make another nifty pass and then it actually is perhaps a turnover.
Yeah, I don't know, man. in clutch situations, these games where you just like, Simo, do more. Fuck. Son of Bruges, Jonah Bolden didn't get out there. He was a DMP CD. Enjoy that summer working on your game, Jonah. Aaron Bangers Baines in the win versus Philly. He was fucking awesome, though, on the flip side of this. 32 minutes, 15 points, 6 of 9. Nice from the floor. 3 of 5 from deep, which means he is 15 of 30 from downtown for the season. That is awesome. 50%. Stretch 5, bro. 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, a team high plus 19. Now, tell me that playing in the World Cup has not helped Aaron Bangers Baines' game, Jonah, you fucking dipshit. Just saying. Fucking hell.
Oh, Nick Kay is playing over me. I'm going home and taking my ball.
That's not your ball, Jonah.
Oh, I'm just going to go home then.
Aaron Bangers Baines, most improved player of the year, MVP candidate. All right, what do we got next? To Shane Hill, shoot your shot, light him up award. It's Tuesday. It's what we do.
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I'm healed. Well, I'm not actually. I'm still sick as a dog, but cold and flu tablets and some beers will fix that. James Harden just had his 80th career 40-point game. That passes Allen Iverson for 5th in NBA history. He's on pace at the moment for 1,323 free throw attempts this season. That's a lot, because the most ever attempted in a season by anyone not named Wilt Chamberlain is 977 by Jerry West 54 years ago. So yeah, James Harden is currently averaging more free throws per minute than anyone ever. He's shot 113 free throws so far this season. And in his last 5 games versus the Grizzlies, he's averaging almost 47 points a game. But also, fuck James Harden, that nut-punching, stripper-glitter-bearded, boring-ass son of a bitch. Because Devin Booker, 6,000 career points today. That was awesome with his 40-point, 4-rebound, 3-assist, 15 of 19 from the floor, 3 of 4, 3-point effort. He was awesome. That is the 8th youngest player to reach 6,000 points. Devin Booker was fucking awesome against Philly today. And James Harden, just so hard to watch him, isn't it?
Oh, but you don't like basketball if you don't like James Harden.
Fuck off. You know? Just saying. What about the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in? Oh, Patty just keeps delivering the goods. Today, Patty has tweeted out the HEB commercial, another one. And these are legendary in the eyes of Spurs fans, and they're just legendary in general because this one is great. Patty tweeted this out. Because we spend so much time in the kitchen and know so much about cooking, we have our own podcast about food. We're practically chefs. Chef emoji. It's Cooking with the Spurs podcast. Headphones emoji. When life gets crazy or allergic to the kitchen and don't know how to cook, keep it simple. It's basically Rudy Gay, Patty Thrills, and DeMar DeRozan there hosting a fake podcast with the Spurs Coyote cooking something and it burns shit up. And it's like, hey, just get HEB shit. It's like, all right, keep it simple when life gets crazy. H-E-B, meal simple. Sure. Nice one. There was also a great one from California to Georgia via Texas for a hot second. Great drip on that last Patty Spurs photo that he also tweeted out to. So go check it out. Patty Mills, always an inspiration. Always fucking funny. Nice one. All right, game previews. Let's do that for tomorrow.
Game previews. Game previews.
All right, thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Oh, you're not sounding much better today.
Yeah, I mean, I feel a bit better, but my throat's still fucked.
I hope you get better soon.
Aw, oh, thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem.
fuck, who knows what's going on. So, as mentioned, over the weekend, we went 11 of 22, and we are just splitting everything down the middle. We split every day over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then today, right down the middle, we went 3 of 6. So, for the year, we're 44 of 92 on our picks, so... pretty interesting stuff. I haven't looked at the spreads for tomorrow, so let's do that right now. What do you reckon? Gonna be an interesting one, I reckon. Got a pretty strange game, day of games tomorrow. You got Boston at Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith.
Cleveland!
And the Cavs are 5.5-point underdogs at home, which is pretty crazy. But then you look at the Celtics not being able to blow out teams like the Knicks. The Cavs sticking close with people because of Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. And I kind of like the Cavs plus 5.5 at home. Boston just sitting there going, we've got Kemba. He's going to tear up Darius Garland. He's going to tear up Colin the Sex Man Sexton. But the Celtics big men, they're going to deal with Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love. So, look, give me the Cavs plus 5.5. It's a bit outlandish, perhaps, but I kind of like it. Indiana playing the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets are 2.5-point underdogs at home. And remember, Charlotte are fucking shit. Indy are half decent. Even without the Suva King and Miles Turner, I'm still going to go with the Pacers minus 2.5, even though I wouldn't be giantly surprised if Charlotte turned this around. But yeah, the gut feeling of Indiana being, not as shit as Charlotte feels pretty good. So let's go with Indiana minus 2.5. The Spurs go to tackle Spurs East. Is that still a thing? The Atlanta Hawks. And the Hawks are 3.5-point underdogs at home. It's a lot of home dogs. It's pretty crazy. The Spurs, 3.5-point favorites against the Hawks. Trae Young may be back for this, but I still like the Spurs. Just a little bit too much there with DeMar and LaMarcus, I think, for the Hawks to handle. And, too many guards, too much scoring. I'm not sure if Atlanta can really keep up unless Trae goes hog wild. Orlando at OKC tomorrow as well. I'll take the Thunder minus 3.5. I tend to think that Orlando are probably a better team. But OKC at home, Chris Paul, they're just a little bit squirrely, you know? And I don't want to go against them, so fuck it. LA in Chicago are 7-point favorites on the road. I'll take the Lakers. The Bulls are a fucking rabble. Anthony Davis and LeBron are going to shit all over them. And then the final game for tomorrow, it is Miami at Denver. Whew. Pretty fun game. You got Jimmy Butts going up against Nikola Jokic. Hello. But the Nugs taking on a team that have traveled. Nugs have been home for a few days. I'll take the 4.5 points for Denver. Minus 4.5. Give me that. I think they'll smoke them at home and win by about 8 or 9. And there you go. Holy shit. Cool. Unreal. That's it for today. We're back tomorrow, which will be the 349th episode of NBA Australia. And also, that means Thursday's episode is going to have a very, very awesomely fun special guest. Can't wait. And on Friday, we should actually have Knicks fan Jake in the studio with us as well. You might have seen him pop up on the video that we did from the Phoenix United game on Saturday, so should be good. Either way, make sure you're following NBA Stray on Twitter, Facey, IG. We're all over the socials all the time, you know that. Go down to NBAStray.com if you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon. First, go to NBAStray.com. Click on the giant Amazon button down the bottom right-hand corner. Then go buy all your shit. They kick us a shekel or two on the back end. That's pretty handy. Chuck us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iTunes, whatever app you use on your Android phone. Spotify, that's really cool. Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Yeah, we're on all of them. Literally any podcast app. If you can rate and review, it helps out heaps. Come on, man. Big thanks to From Ozzo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. The debut album Running Out of Time is out now. And I think they've got a gig coming up this weekend. Is that right? Maybe next weekend? Shit. Anyway, pay attention. House Hats, they're fucking great. Also, big thanks to Fascinator Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Shit Eye, Green, 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 and Dozers. For all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia, give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey and buy their shit. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right. A bit fucked. Jesus. Throat sore. Either way, we're going to close out with a brand new Jingles HR, and we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, hosen. It's Joe Ingles here of Jingles HR. Yep, when I'm not sinking threes, talking trash, or being a dead set legend, in between owning all the real estate there is in Paul George's head, I'm running the NBA's most successful HR company. We'll take your questions and problems and make them shh, like me to a crowd of Pistons fans. So, okay, let's get to this week's question, shall we? It comes from Vlade in Sacramento. Dearest Joe, I have spent all of budget on bad people. Have Vlade done bad? Love, Vlade, Sacramento. Oh, geez, that's a bit brusque and to the point. Look, Vlade, in terms of HR and business in general, as a general rule, you want to spend your budget on good people and not bad people. Yeah, there you go. All right, that's all we've got time for this week. We'll be back next week with more Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. Get a dog up ya.